Board Planning Meeting of Town Discovery Bay. Can you roll call, please?
Roll call from the table, Director Greg Show. All members are present, with the exception of Director Porter, who is absent.
Perfect, thank you.
Public?
No.
There was, he left.
Okay, so we'll move to presentation, discussion, and action items.
Okay, so I'm going to run through our presentation. Next slide, please. Okay, this is our agenda for today. We're going to go through the Board of Directors, you all, our review of our mission, vision, goals, and values, our quarterly review of 2023, the current state in 2024, and looking ahead to the future, and board member input. So, next slide, please. So we put up the new picture. It is now on the website. So all your individual pictures have been updated as well. And then your terms. Next slide. All right, and then we're just going through your district representative listing. It's a two-year term. So just a reminder. And your standing committee appointments. Okay, one of them is going to be switching Parks and Recreation. We're going to switch the chair and vice chair at the next meeting. These are our mission, vision, goals, and values. Please read them and let me know if you would like anything changed or updated.
They are the same as they were last year?
They are the same as last year. Nothing new has been added. The last thing that we added was when General Manager Davies was here and put champion, diversity, and inclusion. That was the last update.
Champion, huh?
Yes.
Interesting choice of words.
It is.
It
was.
I mean,
no changes?
I don't see any.
So good.
Okay. Next slide, please. Looking back, 2023, all quarters. All right, these are the resolutions that we've accomplished in 2023 in Q1. They all passed.
I think we all have to take your word for completeness, but it looks good to me.
Okay, next slide, please. All right, some of our accomplishments. So in recreation, the stroke and turn clinic has taken off. We're adding more and more people to it, more and more classes. This is a closed class for people that are already on swim teams. This is not open to anything new. So this is the swim team, stroke and turn clinic.
Like,
no, not stroke like
that. Yeah, when you're my age, you're stroke and turn, it's something else. So.
It's swimming terms. So recreation programming, we're continuing with Zumba, which is always a hit. Youth paint nights, yoga, tennis, and etc. We are now in the process of hiring our summer staff, so those are all going out already, and so we're hoping for a stellar return like we did last year, which I believe we got 11 lifeguards. Our goal was 12. Okay. Landscaping, we've completed Cooper Drive, the irrigation, Ravenswood Park rails, and planning for solar lighting installed at the walkways between Newport and Safeway. So those light posts are in, so that project will be moving forward. Mm-hmm.
That was my question. Wonderful.
Yes. Okay. Next slide, please. Water and wastewater, here are the accomplishments of what we did in Q1. We completed the Cooper Drive pipeline repair, which was the burst pipe, so that has all been replaced. Purchased a new F-250 for the maintenance department, and hazmat inspection was successful. Management plan, we did the sewer management plan, which is a requirement every 5 years. Wastewater treatment plant bar screens, and Clipper Bridge force main replacement.
What's a bar screen?
A bar screen? Mm-hmm. So that is an item that, I'll let Aaron explain that. But it's a new bar screen, it's a new technology, so go for it.
It's a screen that is installed at the headworks, which is where all the raw sewage comes in the treatment plant. Technically, it's like the first process of treatment. The bar screen collects all the biodegradable stuff that you find in the wastewater plant and disposes it into the trash. Some of this gets through, but the new bar screens are much more efficient than the old ones.
We actually have duplicate system.
We have three. Yeah, we have technically two in series.
Mm-hmm.
We have,
that's right.
Then we have two in parallel. So we have one at plant one, which mm-hmm. is at the inflow and pump station, and then that gets pumped over to plant two, where then it comes across two bar screens, one in each channel.
And does the bar screen automatically remove this stuff, or someone has to do it?
Yes, no, it automatically. Uh-huh. So before it was an auger style system, which caught maybe 25%.
Yeah.
Now it's a rake system, so just a grid of bars, and a rake comes and it gets stuck to the bar, and a rake comes and picks it up, puts it, and then an auger that compresses it and then dumps it into the trash right next to it.
Yeah.
It's an issue that we've been dealing with forever.
Yes.
Out there. I mean, we used to have that stupid little place where we backed the truck in and
mm-hmm.
dumped the stuff into.
Oh, yeah.
So this is really something that mm-hmm. would need to be done, but something that we only have been asking for quite a while.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it removes diapers, rags, anybody that throws something down there, and that should go in trash. So
when you drive down Highway 4, if you look at the treatment plant, you can't miss it because it's those two stainless steel things like chimneys that stick up in the air.
Yeah, that's new, right?
Yes.
Yeah, those are them. That's the bar screen. There's two of them there, and then there's one over plant one.
If
they're very visible.
If there's pictures, but if there's pictures in the slide, or I know it rotates, it might land in there.
It has that
foaming
smell. You won't miss it.
Oh, okay.
Always change that.
Yeah.
How often is the dumpster have to be dumped? Does it fill? I'm trying to understand how the debris coming through.
We haven't had to change the schedule, which is kind of interesting. Before we pick it up once a week, but we were able to utilize the dumpster to throw our own trash in there. Now we're letting just the rake system trash in there because it does compress it and catches a lot more, so that dumpster is filling up. But once a week, they come around every Tuesday, I believe.
So they still dump that once a week, the one over by the other ones? Don't want to get around that one.
No.
No.
Shit.
Next slide, please. Okay, administration and finance accomplishments. So, of course, the contract cost of 2040, now it's called 2045. District office, that's going to be coming toward to you probably in April timeframe. The easement for the marina waterline project, that's the underwater crossing at the marina. We updated our vehicle use policy. And then we transferred our funds to Five Star Bank. That's the big feather in the cap this time. Next slide, please. Our resolutions for quarter two. Again, all passed. Next slide, please. And our accomplishments in recreation and landscaping. So the new fencing on the southwest side of the community center, as you recall, the fencing was falling down. We had people breaking in, so we replaced that. Lifeguard classes, water aerobics, which is a hit, movies in the park, which is always a hit, so we'll be doing those again, and blood drive. We resurfaced the basketball courts at Cornell Park, the new play structure at Regatta, and installation of fencing and gating at the community center again. Water and wastewater. It was successful completion of a sanitary survey for the public water system. Successful removal of failed well pump 7 that has now been repaired and back online. Well 8 drilling was completed. And a successful start to denite treatment. And in this picture here, these are our ox stitches, and these are our denite basins. So two, and that'll be the third.
What are they?
The denite basins, denite positions.
Those are the expenses of $18 million project?
Mm-hmm. So it was the fourth ox stitch, so you can see it being built. Or is that the first? Wait, no, this is the newest one. So this was built, this was all brand new. And these right here, and then of course all the underground piping and everything, and then over on plant lines, the influent and pump station W, which is now pump station Y, completed.
have those DNA digits? Do we add chemicals to those, or?
No, it's a natural process to remove the nitrogen before we discharge it into the river. So that's what gives you your algae blooms and stuff like that. So the state has brought a permit down to 10, whereas before I think we were in the 70s. Now we're at 5 or 6.
We want to make sure we get all nitrate out of the water before the all the farmers throw it back in the water when they crop dust.
Mm-hmm. So does the just go around the racetrack and speak it three times and then it goes to the DNA to be with?
So the process there is you can do both. So as it comes into the headworks and then it goes into the anop zones or the DNA basins. And then from there, so what you're doing in the DNA basins is you're removing the oxygen in the wastewater,
mm-hmm.
and you're allowing the bugs to eat, basically pull the molecules apart and take the nitrates off the molecules and allow just oxygen. They eat the oxygen, which release the nitrates. And then it goes into the ox stage where the bugs need oxygen, otherwise they would die, and they continue breaking down the process there. So you have the splitter boxes, you can kind of do both depending on how your treatment facility is working. So if you need more denite process, you open gates, slow gates to allow flow from oxygen to the denites slower or faster, depending on your treatment results.
Sure. Can I go to Will Lake for a minute? Mm-hmm. Are we currently, it's not working yet.
No, the Well 8 has been drilled. You have your pump and motor and everything. You just don't have a facility that can run it or operate it. So the well itself has been drilled.
So have we been able to do any consistent testing for?
Yeah, as soon as they got done drilling it, they ran it, and they pulled a discharge permit to go into the the sewer drain there on Union Wild Court, and they were getting their estimated flow rates of like 2,400 gallons per minute.
I'm more concerned about the
quality of water. Yeah, no, that was
connectivity rating and how that's affecting. Or are we able to monitor that even though it's not operating yet?
It's not operating, but when they were pulling and doing the flow rates, they grabbed grab samples and looked at the quality of water, and it is a good.
Better than 7.
Yes.
Okay.
Next slide, please. Okay, finance and administration accomplishments. Slip techs. So our emergency alert system. Sorry.
Nice.
Yeah.
How many subscribers do we have now?
I was just gonna look.
There it is.
California class. So we're earning money on our money.
Right.
For the first time in since I've been here.
Yeah.
So it's great. Yes.
And it's a substantial amount of money.
It
well.
Is. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's very substantial. We had an off-site manager training, which was successful. Code of conduct policy and revision of the town website policy. And on the finance side, lighting landscape funding projects, beginning of money market account at Five Star Bank, which also earned some money before we got into California class. And then completion of the board approval for audited financial statements, which is coming to you next meeting, again.
Did we have 600 subscribers?
600 subscribers.
Even?
Really?
Yeah, it's
weird.
Okay. Did you ever
get it up? What's that? Subscribing to Slip Pass? Yeah, I get it for everything. I get it when like somebody burps on the other side of town.
I love the emergency alerts. I mean, it's great.
It's only, what's funny, right after that, I got like 2 or 3 of them, mm-hmm. We had a couple of water breaks or something, I can't remember what they were, and haven't heard a thing since, so
yeah,
that's good news too.
Quarter 3, resolutions. Again, they all passed, so please take a look. Slide, please. All right. Book and flow. What a great idea. It's super successful and it is so much fun. So we're going to continue those. I believe we have 2 scheduled for this next season. Recreational swim will be opening, I think, in May. Water aerobics is also successful. If you haven't signed up, give it a shot. I think you'll like it. We rebuilt the wall ball, so people are using that. We have a maintenance plan to continue maintaining it so it doesn't get to the state that it was in the past. And chair aerobics is something new. So that happens here at the community center. I've seen it a few times, so a good amount of people come. Yeah, it's pretty good attendance. So. Okay, the landscape. Conservation Corps, we hired them to expedite Clipper Drive. I think they did a fabulous job with the second or third crew that we requested. So they moved along pretty quickly. Pickleball group presented us with
the Can I go back for a second? About seeing a truck with a different marking on it. So they also were doing outside Pacific Waterways on Highway 4, and they've been doing down the boulevard here too?
Yes, they were.
They seem to be really productive.
They are. A certain crew is very productive, so we try to keep requesting that same crew.
Okay.
So, approval granted for the execution purchase sale of a new lawnmower. So that was highly needed because ours is always in the shop, so thank you for that. Basketball courts, a Slifer, and pickleball courts will be repainted in early October. Water and wastewater accomplishments.
Ouch.
Yeah, that first one is painful.
Is this fall under accomplishment or what is this called?
Well, yeah, it will be when we can find one. But thank you for the money. Successful completion of the bidding and planning for Willow Lake Filter Project. I understand from our meeting yesterday that project should potentially wrap up by March 25th. So we're hoping for...
How are we going to divert and how are we going to split how we use those two sets of filters? We have three filters in one system and one filter in another system. Are we going to run them at the same time? Are we going to run them alternately? Is there a plan?
So your well 2 only produces about 800 gallons per minute. So you wouldn't run that to the larger filter. You would run that to the A, B, or C. And then you have a well like 6 where you can run through filter 1, which is the new larger capacity filter. But you could also run well 2 with well 6 to that larger filter.
Where's well 2?
Right here. Next.
Oh, it's right, it's the firehouse. That's right. Okay, I'm keep thinking 1A, 1B, 6. Where's it? Yeah, 2's right here.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay, I'm sorry. You forget about it. It's kind of just you don't see it anymore. You know what I mean? Yeah, my bad. Yeah, that's under 1,000 gallons.
About 850 gallons per minute maxed out.
Okay, and then our office over by Aaron, it was all resided. New roof was put on it in the past. So that's a fabulous facility now, which I can't wait to move into and sit right next to Aaron. So, next slide, please. Q3 accomplishments for administration and finance. So under finance, Margaret Moja. So she joined our finance team, and I think she's done a fabulous job and making huge strides in our finance department and getting us organized, and I'm so thrilled. So we have done an update on the rate study. We did a kickoff meeting. Communications policy, tax roll. Which that's what Kelly does, so everybody thank Kelly, because if we don't have her do that, we don't get our revenue. So so it's a big job. It has to be turned in every August, the beginning of August, usually by August 8th. Is that correct, Kelly? Okay. Next door for government. So we fought that one for years, but they came out with a new platform, and it's been working well. So we actually just pushed information out. We shut off comments on all of our social media. So. Okay. And then coffee with the GM. And town hall event was in September. Next slide, please. Quarter 4, just quieter. One resolution. Next slide, please. Okay, and our accomplishments. Blood drive again. We did a free Zumba in the park. And the construction of the patio project began. We were able to extend our aquatics program through October because of the nice weather. And we added private and group pickleball lessons. We've done all the tree work near the dog park, so all that back fence there, all that tree work is done and cleaned up. And then we completed the fence around Ravenswood Park. That's in Zone 9. Next slide, please. Water and wastewater accomplishments for quarter four. So JW Backo was dissolving their company, so we went out to their site and we purchased $250,000 worth of equipment. I believe it was about that amount. We were able to get a dump truck, backhoe, and various parts and tools.
Have you used it?
Yeah.
Very often. That's wonderful. Good.
We played it. Wastewater, diffuser cleaning, and installation. That project I'm very excited about. That was a project that was estimated to be over $2 million, and I think it ended up costing us about a little under $300,000. So that was a great, the conditions just worked out great, where when we put a diver in the water, it was clear, which is very rare, so everything aligned that day. We found out that it was just mussel and clam shells, I think, stuck in there. We were able to vacuum them and clean them out. None of the duck bills were actually really broken. I don't think we repaired any of them, so everything's working fine. Our new vac truck has longer hoses where we can shove it in there, clean it out, and so we have a maintenance program going for that so it doesn't get clogged and backed up again. So this next fiscal year, we're really working towards maintenance programs, how we're gonna maintain our facilities, how we're gonna maintain our equipment, and making sure that we keep it for a long period of time, so.
Mike Parker was very involved in that project too, wasn't he?
And then, yes, so.
I think he was
Zyra. Yeah, it was Gregory from Herwitt, Mike Iraka, and the rest of, you know, staff. Aaron, definitely.
Of course, Aaron.
Yeah, absolutely, every time. Okay, administration and finance accomplishments. Prop 67 grant reimbursement submission. So Margaret worked on that with Bill and Monica. So we're getting 100% reimbursement on that, all our funds. Nothing was denied, so we're really happy about that. We finalized the annual audit, which you will be seeing next meeting. Connection, capacity and connection fee report, and the discussion initiated and creating an assessment district. So that discussion is still open-ended, and we're still doing some research on that in-house. Next slide, please. Staffing, we promoted Leslie Marable, who was our staff accountant, to accounting project analyst position. That position is somebody that's going to be monitoring and tracking all of our projects, every single cent we spend on, so that we can plan a little bit better for future capital projects. We've hired Rodrigo. He joined the lighting and landscape team, and he actually interviewed for the maintenance position that we had open, the maintenance one, landscape one position, and so we are going to transfer him over to that department. He'll be working under Aaron, and I think, like I mentioned at our last board meeting, Luis is coming back. Same position, landscape maintenance one, he'll be taking that spot. We also hired Frank Lara. He joined the water and wastewater team as a water tech one. He came from JW Backo. So if you ever drove by when JW was doing work, you could see a guy with a helmet, you just see the top of his head, he was the guy in the hole. So he's very knowledgeable, he's been a great addition to the staff, he's peppy, and I just really like the guy.
I remember so. When we had to take out that wall there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so if you haven't met him yet, we'll go over to the town.
Got that made for across the street. Hey, what?
Yeah. Next slide, please. Okay, so we kind of revitalized the org chart. This is just of staff. It doesn't show the board and legal counsel, but this is how your staff or the town and Discovery Bay staff is kind of mapped out. So we've got the general manager and assistant general manager who is over finance and parks and landscaping. Parks and landscaping is over landscaping and recreation. And then you have administration, water, wastewater, internal and external. Okay, next slide please. And then we always want to say thank you to our president, our last president. So thank you to Ashley for doing such a wonderful job as our president in 2023. Next slide please. Looking ahead. Okay. community center is very important. We got to get them in here or we don't get to use our swim programs and all those things. So the pool will be opening in May and the aquatics program will also be starting up then. So we've also had, I know Monica has met with Cindy Coates, so she's our program director for all swimming needs. So she is also the swim coach for the River Otters, I believe, or one of them. And so hopefully her affiliation with that will help bring some programming here or the lifeguards like she did last year. So we're crossing our fingers with that. We're going to install the solar bows on Clipper Drive and also the higher ones on the walkway to Safeway, which is in Zone 35, so that's an ongoing project. After the shorter bollards go in at Clipper Drive, we would love to have a open the park, kind of like a river cutting, ribbon cutting for Clipper Drive projects. So say that it's final, it's complete. So we'll be doing something like that. Water and wastewater projects. Well, 7 back online, so that gave us a bit of a scare. It was down for almost a year. Well, 8 to start facility construction. Completion of the filter project, which I mentioned, should be hopefully completed by March 25th. The D-Night project is complete. I think we're, yep, officially complete.
Backwash table?
Yeah.
There's a pump direct.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a little bit different technology.
What type of preparation will you have for the packages?
Really, not a lot of preparation because they're going to take one. We order the meters, they have to install our meter. We go out there, we inspect everything, and then once they sell a house, we just officially add that person on and start billing them for their water usage. So,
yeah. Have we installed any meters there?
Yes, we have. This same pages have pulled a few permits, or seagrass, I believe, is what they're going by.
Yeah.
And every time they pull a permit, that's when we know that they're going to start construction of a new house. We go out there, install the meter at the connection point. And then we get called back once they get done doing most of the underground plumbing and sewer connections, go back out to do another inspection. Mm-hmm. They get the write-off on that. They can continue building. And now there's a new step where, well, pretty much the entire thing is framed and roofed, but you still have the open frame with no shoebox. And the plumbing is complete. Instead of having backflows installed, now have to do the meters because they have their fire sprinkler systems. We have to go in and inspect to make sure that fire sprinkler run is what fills the furthest point toilet. So that way we don't need backwash, it keeps the water and pipes clean. So there's that process, and then once it's complete, then it's just, I don't think any new homeowners have taken residency yet.
I was going to say, how many meters have you installed so far? Off top of your head.
Well, we've installed probably, I think, 6 commercial meters. When I say commercial, I mean irrigation commercial meters for their landscaping. And then as far as homes, I would say we estimate about 15 meters.
But those are the homes that are completed, so.
Those are the homes that are completed. Under construction.
Okay.
Not ready to move in yet. But they're getting pretty close.
So you said they pulled a permit, so how does that get communicated to you?
They have to call us to get a water and wastewater permit. They have to pay a fee for that. And usually when they go to the county will accept that until they get our permission.
Oh, so they contact town and then some of the office issues or something.
Part of the check is the county that's sort of going to notify us
that
the permit's been pulled. You say it's called, it's a multi project though, right? Multi to develop.
Is the home builder?
The name of the project.
Seagrass.
Okay.
It was Pantages, they sold it to Seagrass.
Right.
Okay, next slide, please. Our finance projects, looking ahead. We're going to finalize our rate study. We're going to implement a new commercial card program, so that's coming to you at the next board meeting. It's been through the finance department. They reviewed it. So it's with Umpqua Bank. Right now we're with CalCard. It's an okay program. I've always wanted to change it. It just has some hiccups. It's a kind of a clumsy website. So I think this will be a better program for us. The one wonderful thing about this program is that you can give, without an actual card, you can give each. So on our admin card, we have PG&E, Comcast, those kind of reoccurring things. Each one of those with this new card can have its own number. So that when we have $30,000 card, you have all these different programs. If that card gets compromised, now I've got to call every single company. I've got to reset the new card. With this, having this new Umpqua Bank card, I can give each department, so PG&E has their own number, Comcast has their own number, this program has its own number, so it makes it a lot easier for if a number gets compromised to just deal with the one. So I really think this is going to be a good program, yeah, and CalCard does not offer that, so. So we're looking at our financial policy, so that's on Margaret's list. Probably going to start looking at that in the fall timeframe after we do the audit and the close of the books. And the budget, we're going to be looking at the budget for, that'll be go to you in June. We're also going to have a budget workshop in May, so Margaret will be coming up possibly for that. So look forward to that invitation as well.
The word for the additional numbers is in hand, if you want to sound really cool.
Oh, thank you. Next slide, please. All right. Any questions, any input, anything you would like to add?
That's good.
Okay. Oh, I missed it. I did?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. So why don't we take just a very short break? Do you want to just adjourn for a short break? And then legal is going to give a quick update and presentation on some things that he's going to teach.
basically the bylaws.
We're going to go over bylaws.
Okay. All right, so we will adjourn for 3 minutes.
For what?
2 3 minutes.
Yeah, let's say at 37, we'll come back, 4:37.
Okay.
So everybody loves training, and including myself. But what we did last year was we talked about the Brown Act, and we talked a little bit about communication and, you know, tips and tricks. So rather than go through another, you know, Brown Act thing, I decided what, in talking with Dina, we've got bylaws. You guys have all been on the board. You know, you're not all, none of you are brand new. But that typically is indicative of the time that, hey, let's revisit what, you know, what we are. So that reframe, kind of, you know, get all, dust off all the bad habits and let's try it and remember, you know, what our role is, like, here we are, this is us. So that's what this is. It's called Primer on the Town's Bylaws. This is your policy number 2 put into a short presentation. Next slide, please. So we went through a little bit of this in Dina's presentation, but we are a community services district. We provide water, wastewater, treatment, landscaping, and recreation services. We're in California special districts are limited purpose, meaning that we can only do what the state tells us we can do. So, but we have this other little power here, which is we assume the responsibilities of the Discovery Bank Municipal Advisory Council. And what that is those are really specialized agencies that they used to be their own thing. Some counties, they are still their own thing, but when they developed here in Discovery Bay, and then we not really incorporated, but we were created as a special district. The Board of Supervisors at that time said, well, it's no use in having two. We're just going to add that to the powers. So we're not really technically, you know, a separate MAC. So we always talk about separate MAC authority. That's one of our powers. So CSDs, which is what we are, have a long menu of things that we can do. It's just a matter of what the county and what the local agency formation commission say we can do. And those are the powers that we light up. And if we wanted to do something in addition to that, we look at that list, that menu, and say, you know, we think we'd want to get into and, you know, choose something off of the list. We'd go to LAFCO, we'd petition it, we just, you know, we'd have to negotiate with whoever's providing that service currently, and then get there. So our MAC authority is really under our umbrella as a CSD. So that's what we do is, it's basically you're like a big, you know, listening device. things that go on that we don't have control over, like land use things, which is typically what, you know, is the biggest complaint from a resident, because we do such a good job, you know, delivering the water, wastewater, and landscaping. You know, folks have problems with fences, folks have problems with the road, speeding. We hear all of this. We address that by inviting law enforcement. So law enforcement comes and gives us our, you know, reports of what's going on. And then that gives you all as a board an opportunity to say, oh, hey, law enforcement, guess what? We have some wild kids in the neighborhood that are riding their motorcycles. Well, what law enforcement do? They turn around and kind of, they say, well, can we have a town hall? Let's listen to this. And give them more information to do enforcement. Got it. So that's an effective use of your municipal advisory council, because you're essentially listening to the folks that are complaining to you. You don't have authority, so you're not spineless or toothless at this point, but you have direct lines of communication to the folks that do have any sort of authority on that. In this sense, it was law enforcement, fences. We've got, you know, that's a difficult one, because our, you know, our land use representative doesn't seem to be too terribly responsive, or, you know, or doesn't have the political, you know, will or power to be able to enact a change that would be here. But we're going to continue to kind of look at different avenues to do that. So that's our purpose. That's why we're here. Next slide, please. This is that wonderful picture. I grabbed this right from the web, so it's available. So I think it's a good picture. You've got your five elected directors. So you're at large. You don't do districts. $115 a meeting, $690 a month. That's a law. There's a law that says you can't be compensated for more than six meetings a month. So that's, you know, if we want to have more meetings, we got to start thinking about, oh, well, law says we can only have six. We have mandatory trainings, which you all do on your own. Brown Act ethics, and then sexual harassment. So that's all, I guess, administered through Dina and her office, making sure you all are up to par. You do get a lot of awards from Special District Association, so you know, that's good, because they look at that sort of stuff, and, you know, the public, they can know that they have, you know, educated members of their board. Next slide, please. Our meetings are public. We have regular meetings on the first and third. Special meetings only when necessary. That's kind of technical Brown Act stuff, but quorum, this is something that is often forgotten. In a CSD, if we had three people there at the meeting, that's a quorum. We can have a meeting, right? But if we have a 2-1 vote on something, we lose, because we always have to have a majority of the board vote to pass, you know, whatever action it is you're looking to take. So if you're at a three-person meeting and you don't have consensus, I'm always going to recommend don't take action. Because unless the consensus or the power structure is the two people that don't want it, then you can take action. But if you ever get in a situation like that, using one of those rules, you just forget. Next slide. So what is this? This is kind of small. I'm sorry about that. Board duties. So what do you guys do? You know, you get elected by the people. The people, you know, you make campaigns, you know, statements, and you told people that you can do certain things. Well, as a board, we're limited in your jurisdiction because the law says so, and because you've arranged yourself in this way. You've adopted your policy too, which is your bylaws, which have effectively delegated a certain amount of the authority that you otherwise have as a board to Dina. Dina's the only person that you delegated that authority to. I'm relatively independent of that. I work for the city, or city, the district, the town, but I work with the board and for the board. You all are the person that can say I work here or I don't work here, but I also collaborate with your town administration, because they're the people that are, you know, boots on the ground, giving you a job every day. So what do? Right, you delegate this authority away. Dina's taking care of all the work. Well, it's your job as a board to set policy, and it's establishing guidelines and operations in the district. So you're really the vision makers. You're looking kind of on the horizon. You know, what are our goals? So workshops like this are very helpful, because they help you all understand. Dina just presented to you, here's what we did last year. You as a board now are starting to think about, okay, it looks like we got a lot done. Your resolutions are kind of a good way to look at that. I like that presentation, because it shows, you know, what was your workload in that period of time? Because we do a lot of these decision making by resolution, and that's for record keeping purposes, so we can look back and say, well, why the hell did we do that? We can kind of get an idea. If we don't have a resolution, typically minutes. But Dina does a good job of making sure that there's resolution tells a story. You also have oversight. So you're at the top of the organization looking down and saying, you know, I don't think we're necessarily doing that correctly. Or, you know, if there's a legal question, I think we should look into the legality of what it is we're doing. Are we sure that we're doing our rate setting correctly? You know, and then what you do is you reach out to me or you reach out to Dina and you'll say, hey, is this legal? Then Dina will give direction to me saying, hey, is this legal? And we'll come to some determination and report back to you and say, hey, yes, it is legal. Or, hey, you know, maybe we've made a couple missteps. Let's fix it. Decision making. So I talked to her earlier about you delegated all this authority to Dina, but certain authority Dina can't get beyond, right? Because there's a ceiling there. As you've said, like for purchasing, for example, you've set thresholds in your purchasing policy, that's policy 11, that says how Dina can operate day-to-day business. And that's the rule book that you've given her. And once she gets to, say, a $25,000 purchase, she knows that she can't approve that without coming to you all, making a presentation, and then you all, you know, asking questions and then making the ultimate decision of the authority to make that purchase. You hold all the keys to purchasing, but again, you've organized your way in a sense that you've adopted these policies for a more efficient organization, so you've pushed some of that down to Dina. And Dina, being the only person that you've delegated authority to, is carries out those plans. And as always, you're the representative, right? You're out in the public, people come to you. I'm sure you're walking through the grocery store, you're in the park, or doing what have you. People know that you're elected, they see your face on the website, and they come and they've probably got a million questions for you as to why this, why that, have you ever thought of this, let's try that, I love what you're doing here, all those sorts of things. You're the figurehead, but as a figurehead, you're an individual, you're one of five, right? Unless the board has said, Dr. Graham, we want you to speak on behalf of this, and this is the message that we adopt as a board. Well, at that point, you've delegated authority again, because that's what this whole program is about, is you as a board operate 1-5, or 5 together, so you're like Voltron, right? You're independently, you're probably pretty powerful, but together is the only way that you can carry out a real big mission. So that's kind of a broad, you know, 30,000 foot view as to who you are in this organization. Next slide, please. So you've got specific duties, and this is another rule that you've made for yourself in adoption of your policy. These are your bylaw policies. So you appoint officers, so you have a president. President does certain things in the organization and does certain things in the board. The president presides over the meeting. Your president also your agendas are collaborative with staff, will bring the issues that they think are ready for the board to make decisions on. And then you collaborate with general manager and the secretary to say, they'll propose to you and you'll either agree or disagree, come to some sort of resolution as to what the agenda is going to be. But staff's always going to make a recommendation that, you know, we're going to bring things to you that aren't half-baked. We don't want a lot of sausage making going on in a board meeting because they're public facing, right? Because we're really communicating with three people at a board meeting. We're communicating with each other as a board member, you're communicating with your staff, and you're communicating with the public. So everything you say has three different audiences that are listening to you, and so it's very strategic as a board member to ask certain questions. And then I like to think of public meetings as a ballet. It's really a choreographed dance. You know, every question should have an answer before you get there, so your questions ahead of time should be answered, and then you strategically ask them. So if you wanted to, you know, message to, say, a certain member, certain area of the public that have been asking you questions about, you know, any sort of issue. Before the meeting, you reach out to staff, which would be through Dina, or you reach out to legal and ask a question so that when you're at the meeting, you can say, Andy, you know, the fences, can we do anything? And you've got all these members of the public coming to you all saying, fix the fences. Well, it's my job to say, well, you don't have land use authority, so we don't necessarily, unless we own the fence. And it's answering that public's question, right? So you've not failed to address them or ignored them or tell them, I can't do anything. That never works. Politically, it's bad. But then organizationally, it just creates more problems for, you know, the community. So that's what this, you know, this the chair and the vice chair, when you're putting all of the agenda together, that's really kind of the script of the choreographed dance that when we show up on Wednesdays, that's what's going to happen. So it's just kind of a, you know, people think, oh, it's a fast meeting, they didn't even think about anything. Well, you know, that's not necessarily true, but it shouldn't matter, because when people, the public comes to watch you all, that's what they're coming. They're buying a ticket to the show, and it's your show. It's not the public's show. You want to listen to them at appropriate times, but it's really your show, so that's, you know, there's a lot of information being moved. You also have the specific duty to committee assignments, and you do that. You have standing committees, and then periodically we'll create ad hocs for specific purposes. But committees are very helpful in this organization, because this organization does a lot of different things. And I think meetings would be really inefficient if we didn't have recommendations coming from those people that have listened to the technical knowledge of our consultants in a very minutiae type detail. The wastewater's, you know, you go listen to a wastewater meeting. If you invite an engineer to a meeting, engineers have a tendency to give you every single piece of information on the planet, and it's terribly dense. It's very informative to people that care, but for everybody else that is kind of on the fringe, it's put you to sleep. I mean, it's pretty quick. Financial oversight. You all hold the keys to the checkbook. So if something's going wrong, you all, the buck stops at that, you know, at that dais. And how do you regulate that? Because you've delegated so much authority to Dina. Well, you do that through a few ways, right? You've got your financial policy, that your procurement policy, so Dina can only spend up to a certain ceiling. But more importantly, with Margaret, you're going to have your budget coming. And your budget is an extremely important document, because what your budget does, that's appropriate certain funds to certain elements that you're going to be spending. Because anytime we get to the ceiling of a fund, we're without authority to spend, and we have to amend the budget. So that's the budget's really a financial control device for not only planning purposes for you all, but also control to make certain that we're not, you know, spending outside of our means in the context of a specific concern that's probably not, you know, terribly important to this board, because remember at the beginning, you're all at the vision center. You're on the horizon. And then community engagement. This goes with any elected public-facing position. You are the eyes, ears, face of the district. So you all interact in different circles and probably overlap in some circumstances, but you're really kind of a vessel for that information to bring that back and utilize that experience in your decision making. Next. So that sounds like a lot that you all have, but you have delegated down and you've appointed officials that answer to the board, and that person is Dina, so general manager and secretary. Here we say our secretary is going to be separate from the board. And then we also have you delegated that general manager is your treasurer. I'm appointed by the board. And then you can come up with other officers as you see fit going along, but those are the only ones you have now. So you have, it's really two people, it's myself and Dina. Because Dina captures a lot of that, you know, your treasurer, your secretary, and you know, so that's the person that you have control over, right? So we, as a board, you have control of the vision, policy, and then you say, well, we have all this control, we don't want to do it as a committee, we're going to delegate and push it into kind of a point and say, Dina, you're going to carry this out. Andy, you're here because we want to make sure we're staying between the white lines. Next slide. So, to give you an idea of what you've done and your policy with bylaws, what have you delegated to Dina? Let's talk about the specific responsibilities that you've done. So, it's her job to evaluate and appraise all of the board policies during, you know, as you guys have adopted them. So, we have them on the website. Periodically, you just heard Dina talk about the finance policy. So, these are things that she's going to be doing. She's going to be, you know, evaluating, is it working still? Is this still good practice? Do, you know, have things changed? Any recommendations to bring back to you, because we're bringing back the rule book saying, hey, you know, conditions have changed. The rule book doesn't really work for the game we're playing right now. We'd like to change it in such and such manner. We just did this with some of the standing committees about, you know, meeting times and that sort of thing. I think the communications committee is still, you know, thinking about it. And that's all things that we bring back. These are rule books. Like when you play board games, you open up the board game, that, you know, paper everybody kind of tosses to the side. That's where I come in. I'm like, hey, wait, let's read those first, and then we can figure out how to play the game. We've created our own rule book for our game, which is the Town of Skagit Bay, as our through our policies. She's also the leader of the organization from the, you know, staffing perspective. So she takes everything that we're supposed to be doing, water, wastewater, landscaping, parks and rec, and you all, through your budget, have allocated a certain amount of money, say, Dina, go ahead, does this, you know, this seems like enough to us, carry it out. Now she's got to get, you know, a group of folks together and lead them. And so she's going to be walking, you know, she's cutting the brush, and those people have to follow her. So that's, you know, without that, we didn't have a leader. You know, you're going to have, you know, fractured, you're going to end up with kind of like little splinter cells of, you know, and then you end up with all sorts of issues, employment issues, performance issues, all sorts of different things that start popping up. But you're only being accountable because your policy says, hey, we want, you're going to be leading these people, you're going to be doing the planning, we're going to tell you what our plan is, you carry it out. Personnel management folds right into that. Be a good leader, you know, is going to have personnel, and she's going to take, you know, that all that delegation, and she's going to push that down. And we saw that in the organization chart. So we have Alan here as AGM, and so she says, I can't take care of, you know, this whole thing effectively. You all as a board approved this position a few years ago under Davies, and I think it's been a very effective, you know, approach, because now you've got Dina overseeing the whole thing and people directly reporting to her saying, hey, we're having an issue here, but we don't need to bring this to the board at this point. Let's figure it out underneath, and let's go ahead and fix it. And if there's a big problem that I don't have the authority to do, then we'll start bringing it up to the board. In personnel management, you know, there's also, you know, what is hard for small organizations and smaller towns, like the Town of Skagit Bay, is we're so familiar with everybody that you have the tendency to just say, I've got an issue. If somebody called me about, you know, the smell that's coming off of the whatever, what was that thing, the big tall things called?
The screens.
Bar the screen, screens. Yeah, the bar screens. Aaron knows all about that. I'm going to go see. That's not necessarily.
You're just making this up, I can tell.
That's not necessarily a problem, right? Because the problem isn't lying in the fact that Aaron's, you know, got probably the answers. The problem is when we start telling Aaron what to do and where to go. If there's an issue where that comes in, you know, our organization, the rules we put together go right back up to, hey, you know, I know who has the power to do this, our general manager. Public relations, so Dina has her coffees. Dina does, you know, she reached out and did walks and does the town hall, and, you know, we invite the public here. I don't know how interesting it is for the public to want to come and figure out about the, you know, the Town of Skagit Bay and wastewater and that sort of thing on a daily basis, but I'm sure that there's opportunities that, you know, that we can inform. And, you know, I remember as a kid, one of the most fun, or most memorable, I shouldn't say fun, field trips I had was we went to the Stockton, City of Stockton wastewater treatment plant that's right up here on 4. As you drive right before you get in town, we call it the poopoo ponds. Right there, we had our fifth grade class, we all got to go, and they toss about the bugs, and they toss about, you know, this is the process. It was real memorable because it was funny because everybody was talking about poop. And so, as kids, you know, that's hilarious, but it also was kind of eye-opening. I grew up in a family, a plumbing business, so I knew a little bit about, you know, what happens when you flush a toilet, but a lot of kids had no clue. They just thought it just went into the river, some kids didn't disappear, but those sorts of things, and those sorts of things that you've said, hey, Dina, we want to make sure people know stuff. She participates, and you want her to participate and promote the district, so that's, you know, all sorts of different things, but it's public facing, because this is the person that is day to day. You all have your own lives and do your jobs. You've hired Dina to be the face of the district, so in a business sense, Dina, we want you to attend this. Dina, take care of this problem. The public talks. Dina, call Dina. Dina will be able to get the right staff. Next slide, please. Dina's also the treasurer, so financial oversight, so budgeting. So Dina is, she's the last line of resistance as far as what goes out the door. But Dina said, you know, she came from this area, and she used to be our financial director, but now we have Margaret. And so Margaret that's been pushed down, so Dina has now, Margaret's gonna be putting this together, answering to Dina, and then once they have internal, you know, consensus, you all as a board will probably see, well, it'll probably come through some form of committee, but it'll make its way up to you, and you have the last signature on the line. It's also financial management, so this goes along with, you know, your day-to-day checkbook, you know, making sure it balances, making sure we're staying in the budget. So that's these different budget check-ins that we have. Margaret has, you know, given you, I think, one or two, but this is all stuff that, you know, Dina's responsible for doing. Next slide, please. She's also your board liaison. She's supposed to do something, it's not just one way, it's two way, right? So Dina has to communicate with you all and communicate effectively, being that she's got to keep you informed of all the, you know, anything that's going on that you don't want to have a surprise, right? So you'll get board emails of like, you know, when we had, the electricity was out and, you know, there was those lift stations that went down and there was kind of chaos happening. You know, we reached out, Alan has the text messaging program. That's another program who reaches out, but that's the public. We need to make sure that we're keeping you informed first because you are the face and people are gonna, you know, maybe call you or see you and, you know, wag their fingers at you. Dina's also got to make sure that she coordinates with you as an agenda. I see this all the time in more of like land use agencies like cities and counties. There gets to be a point in time when the general manager or the county administrator or the city manager believes they don't have to answer to you at all. If they don't like me, they'll get rid of me. But you as a board want stuff on the agenda. You want to address these issues. So collaboratively working with you to be able to effectively address them and put them on the agenda at a point in time when it's, you know, right, ready for you to take action. Every agenda item in my mind should be a yes or no decision. It shouldn't be a how should we do this, unless it's more policy on your side of the field and we're not really making recommendations on policy. We also have the as a liaison and is communications district staff. So if we have issues, we kind of touched on this, but if we have issues with the way things are being done, then we want to communicate those issues through Dina down into the staff. And these are all, you know, things that you guys have made as your rules in your policy two, which is your bylaws. So it's just it's her obligation to do that. If something's going wrong and you all as a board don't believe something's right, Dina's accountable. That's just at the end of the day. But you, if she's following, you know, the rules, she should just go swimmingly. Next slide, please. So Dina's, you know who you are, what organization, what bits and pieces are. So now it's how do we put those things together? And it's a close working relationship. It's really the board chair. It has a lot of responsibility to, you know, carry the board's will to the general manager, because those are the sorts of things that you as a board will be able to take action on, because agendas are strict, right? But you as a board also, you're an elected official, you're the policy head, you're one of the policy heads. You also can, you know, bend Dina's ear about whatever it is the issue is, to come up with some sort of way that we can effectively address it. Do we want to be effective and not be kind of chaotic in our public meetings? Because all that does is kind of erodes your confidence in the organization as a whole, and, you know, we end up with another, you know, angry horde out in front, and, you know, pitchforks and tiki torches. And then providing guidance and support to Dina in her role as the chief administrator. She's effectively in the private world. She's the CEO. You all are the board of directors, and she carries out your will. You don't like the will, the performance. We're in that period right now. You should, if it's not in your email box, it will be this later this afternoon. If it's close to 5, it's probably there. But so it's evaluation time. So this is where it's your opportunity to formally address what you think is an issue or what you think is going right. And that is how we do board collaboration. Next slide, please. That's it? And that's policy two in a nutshell. So to just kind of lift the skirt back as to what I did here, I took policy two, and I ran it into an AI. And I told the AI, make me a PowerPoint presentation. So then what that did was it made this presentation for you all. These words that were on this on these slides are the exact words that are in your policy. The only thing I did was it kind of, it jumbled up a few of the things because AI is kind of still not terribly perfect, but it's pretty good. And so I wanted to do that for two reasons. I wanted to, you know, test, see how effective this, you know, this tool is that we got. And then two, I didn't want to you know, editorialize what you all as a board have already decided to do on your own. So that's my presentation for policy two. That's your bylaws and those are the rules of the game.
Well done.
Questions? Any questions for Andy?
No, it's a good presentation. I think that would be much more beneficial to, well, on day one for any board member than.
Well, I can give it to Dina and
I think it would be great.
I sent it to, yeah, so you all, I mean, feel free to use it. I don't have any problem with that. So new board members is absolutely part of like the onboarding and you all can take control of it.
Yeah, perfect. So that concludes our board workshop. One, I just want to say thank you for supporting us over the year. We can't do it without you, so we appreciate it. I think we work really well together. I want to thank the management staff. You know, Margaret, she's online, right behind you.
Hey,
she's listening. So Margaret, so she's been a great.
You're looking over my shoulder the whole time, huh?
You just see your name. She's been a great addition, so I appreciate all the work that she's done in the finance aspect of it, getting us reorganized again and moving forward. Aaron, you know, he's got this water and wastewater stuff down, so he's been really good at, you know, moving our projects forward, so thank you for that. We've got Slick Text here, so thank you so much. So he helps me run the landscape department and recreation department, Alan Candano, so our AGM, so I can't do it without him. And then of course, you know, legal, I pick up the phone all the time and ask a bunch of questions, whether they're good questions or tough questions.
He just plugs in the computer and gets an answer.
I know, and that it was scary, like the way that this AI, I told some of my the people that we were talking at my firm, I said, this is going to steal associates' jobs.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing, actually, what it is, because I've talked to some people about that, and the projects that you can get, the plagiarizing you can do without even trying.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Monica couldn't be here today. She had a scheduled vacation already, so that's why she is absent. But I also want to take a minute to thank Beatrice because she is definitely my right, left, and feet. So thank you so much for putting the presentation together. She's my AI for this. And then, of course, Kelly. She comes to all of our meetings, takes our minutes, takes the notes, and makes sure you guys are taking care of. So, again, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, I did that all in 10 minutes. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I got a lot of questions. How long is this going to take?
That's all we care about.
I don't
know. All right, so five.